Hi guys, I will be presenting Public Money, Public Code and Europe's Path to Digital Sovereignty. I will pay special attention to this in the introduction of the framework, but first things first, now it doesn't work, now it works. I'm Bonnie Mehring, I work for the Free Software Foundation Europe as a project manager, and I'm responsible for various projects there. Among them is the Software Freedom podcast. So if you have heard my voice before, this might be the reason why. And yes, the Free Software Foundation Europe is a charity, and our mission is to empower users to control technology. We believe that this is only possible through free software. And as we have just heard in the keynote, I would also like to point out for this framework and for the introduction of Public Money, Public Code, that free software is global. There are no borders. Free software does not depend on a single vendor, and it's not depending on a single nation. Free software is transparent, it's collaborative, and in the best cases, there comes a community with it. So please keep those attributes in mind while I'm introducing Public Money, Public Code, and also highlighting some of the problems that are in public institutions with proprietary software. So, what are the problems that public institutions or public bodies and our public infrastructure has with proprietary software? Well, there is the high dependency on single vendors. This is not something that I'm making up, but that has been shown in various studies over the past years. One of them was published in 2019, and it researched the dependency on software vendors in the federal government and in the federal agencies. And guess what? They found out they are highly dependent on a software manufacturer called Microsoft. And then, more recently, in 2020, the KGST, the Kommunale Gemeinschaftsstelle für Verwaltungsmanagement, also found this out. I don't know how to translate into English. I have no clue. So I just keep this word in German. They also found out that the public administrations on a lower level are also dependent on single software vendors. They researched town and district administrations and asked over 160 and also found the software dependency on single vendors and especially on Microsoft. Yes, with this dependency, there are more problems coming along. One of them is the vendor lock-in. Some of you might have heard this phrase before. It describes a situation where you cannot easily switch software without investing high costs. So the high costs are here the limiting factor, and they lock you in to the vendor because you need to invest a lot to switch from one software to the other. And this problem comes along with the high dependency on single vendors, and then you get very easily locked in to this vendor. However, there are more problems. Don't worry, I'm not going to dive into all of them because otherwise this would be a very, very lengthy discussion. There's also the missing interoperability. So the problem here is that the software products usually only work with software products from the software manufacturer, like in their own infrastructure, in their own ecosystem. They work together, but there are hardly any open standards or any independency on platforms. Yes, and then we have the missing transparency as well. So you do not really know what the software is doing. And this is a problem for public administrations, especially as they are dealing with our private data. You always have to keep this in mind. Public institutions, they are not just doing taxes and charging you money. They are also storing your private data. They are storing where you're living. They are storing if you're married. They are storing if you're single. They are storing how many children you have. And all of this information, this is very sensitive data that they are handling. And they entrust this data to software where we do not really know how the software works, as we cannot study and research the software. And we just have to trust on this a bit. It's like security by obscurity. But what are the advantages and the challenges that there are with free software? So free software is the future for public administrations. And it's the only way to achieve digital sovereignty. For this, public administrations need strategic procurement. This will ensure open standards and further interoperability. This should also ensure independence, so that we are not depending on a single manufacturer or on a platform that the software is device independent. And we also need transparency and trust. This is also ensured by free software. By its very nature, we can study free software, we can research how free software works, and trust is something that's very crucial for the digitalization, as people need to trust the software that it's used in the public administration. You are all very much inclined in the software world, so you know how software works, but think about a person that's not so much inclined. I just recently was at an event where there were a lot of elderly people, and they felt very much overwhelmed. They do not really know how the software works, and this is true for a lot of people out there. And we cannot know how the software works with proprietary software, but we can know with free software, and this is a way to achieve trust in the public and to make the let the public understand how the software works and to let them trust into the digitalization of the public infrastructure. Then, procurement can be a tool to gradually reduce dependencies. Free software in public administrations also brings along collaboration. Collaboration with local partners and collaboration with each other. So we can exchange the software that is used by the public administrations via the European stack, codeeurope.eu. And yeah, we do not really need to reinvent the wheel. And we can also do this on a national level. Some of you might have heard of the German agency Zendes, the Zentrum for Digital Sovereignty. But there is also something in France. France has La Suite, which is very similar to OpenDesk. They are also providing tools for the public administrations. Yes, and with this, we do not need to reinvent the wheel over and over again. We do not need, not each single public administration needs to pay for the API, but we can reuse the software. This is possible thanks to free software in public administrations. And then also on a local level, there's also collaboration and a district and town engagement. Not only with others, but also with the economy around it. It has been found in studies since 2006, at least that's the oldest study that I can remember, that if free software is deployed in public institutions and used by public infrastructure, this has a spillover effect on the local economy. So, for example, Spart and Günther in 2006 found out that if public administrations use free software, they're more likely to engage with national and local companies. This has also been shown in 2020 by Barcelona. They invested around 70% of their IT budget in free software, and they also engaged with over 3,000 local small and medium enterprises. And this has been more recently also advocated for in the last publication by the BBSR, the Bundesinstitut für Baustadt und Raumforschung. I also don't know how to translate that. And they also said that there's the spillover effect if the public administration is using free software, that they also engage more with the local and national economy around them. And you have to imagine that this is not a small number I'm talking about. Town and district administrations spend around 1 million euro per year on software. So it is a large number that I'm talking about, because you have to imagine each one does that. Yes, but there are also some challenges ahead. Oh, I forgot the civil society. Yes, we need to engage and collaborate with civil society as well. As has just been mentioned in the talk, in the keynote, the administrations and people outside of the free software ecosystem sometimes do not really understand free software and open source, and they are facing challenges that we cannot think of, because we have an understanding and we need the spillover effect of the understanding of the civil societies with the public administrations. We need to share the knowledge here so that they are more engaged and that they are up to date. So this is also a crucial point that can happen with free software, that we can work together as civil society. But there are also some challenges ahead. So for free software in the public infrastructure, we need secure and long-term funding. And this needs to be done by public administrations and private actors. Those who use free software need to be accountable for it. And we also have the challenge of open washing. This sounds a lot like greenwashing. It is very similar, basically. So since open source or free software is becoming more and more popular with public administrations, there are a lot of words floating around software products that are not really open source or free software, but that kind of pretend to be, with words like, this is open, very prominent example would be OpenAI, and or with other words like that they are not disclosing the source code in full, that they are only disclosing part of this. And those are challenges that the public administrations are facing because they are not that much involved in the open source ecosystem, and where we as civil societies and as organizations need to make a clear standing, need to abstain from the words that the open washers are using, and need to make clear that we can use words like administration ready instead of enterprise ready. So that the administrations are guided here as well and that they do not face this challenge alone. And we also have to create resilient supply chains. As you can imagine, as software developers, software product is not just one line of code or one file, but there are a lot of libraries involved. There's a lot of different software interacting, so we need to make sure that there are resilient supply chains. Yes. And all of this can be achieved with the framework Public Money, Public Code, if this would be a guiding principle. All of the challenges and the advantages can be addressed and leveraged if Public Money, Public Code is implemented as a guiding principle for the public administrations. So this means that code paid by the people should be available to the people. And this demand, we are supported by over 37,000 individuals. You're very welcome to sign the open letter if you have not done so yet, as this is your chance. And we are also supported by over 200 NGOs and organizations, as well as public administrations. I took the screenshot there from all because there is OpenSUSE. I wanted to share that with you, just so that you know. There are also many other Linux distributions or free software and open source software projects. So, yes, feel free to take a look. And if your project isn't there yet, feel free to reach out to us. Yes, and with this, I gave you a very quick introduction to Public Money, Public Code. If you have more questions about it, please feel free. This is your chance now. And yeah, here are some of the FSFE initiatives. And please follow us on Mastodon, subscribe to our podcast. We, in the past two episodes, we also talked about technological sovereignty in Europe. So if this is of any interest for you, feel free to join us here. And read our newsletter. Yes, that's it from my side. I'm happy to take your questions.
So, thank you very much, Bonnie. Are there any questions?
No. Oh.
Everyone is happy? Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.